Today we want to think on the subject of an appreciated church. And we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1, 1 through 5. First of all, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Now Paul is greeting the Colossian church, and he tells them that he's an apostle. Now he's an apostle not by personal choice, or wasn't for income or benefits that he would get by being an apostle, but it was God's will for him. It was the will of God. And when we choose an occupation, we need to make sure that we're doing what God wants, that it's His will for our life. And then notice also, he says, and Timothy, our brother. Now, Timothy was a saved person, and when we are saved, when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are born into God's family. We become a child of God. And therefore, every person who is a Christian, who has received Jesus Christ, is a brother and sister in the Lord. Now notice verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he relates something about the Colossian believers that he was writing to. Notice he calls them saints. Now, that doesn't mean that they were perfect, but this term saints relates to our position or our standing with God. We are ones who are set apart to God. I remember as a kid growing up on the farm, we didn't plant seed corn like they do now. And Dad would pick out ears of corn from the crib. In those days, we had a corn picker and we picked the ears of corn. And he would pick out the biggest ears that he could find as he was unloading the corn, and he'd lay them aside, and those were separated for a purpose. They were destined to be shelled. They weren't destined to feed to the hogs or the cattle or the chickens, but they were destined to be shelled and planted, the seed planted the next spring. Now Dad had the feeling that if he picked out the big ears, then the corn that he planted the next spring would produce big ears. And of course, we know that that isn't always the case. But he picked out certain ears to be used for planting the next year. Now saints are ones who have been picked by God from among all the people in the world. It wasn't on the basis of color or nationality or church affiliation or education or social status or how good they were or how many good works they had done, but is on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ. You see, they belong to God in Christ, and because of that, they were the object of God's care and blessing, and their destination was heaven. So because they had received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they were His people, they were saints, and set apart to Him, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That was their destination. And if we have received Christ as our Savior, we are saints and our destination is heaven. Now notice he also said that they were faithful brethren. Again, a Christian is a brother or sister in Christ. We see that in verse 1. And they're a saint. But that was their position in Christ. But notice, these were also faithful brethren. That was their practice. This had to do with how they lived as a Christian. And if we are faithful saints, and then we are living for God. It's one thing to belong to God, but it's another thing to live like we belong to God. We need to be faithful. That means we need to be loyal and conscientious and reliable and accurate in our living. Living like we teach, living according to how we preach or teach. And it means that we love the Lord and we love His Word and we are devoted to serving Him and we are devoted to being pure in our life. And nothing else takes the place that Christ deserves and wants in our life. So we need to be faithful people, faithful Christians. A faithful brother in Christ will make us a faithful husband, or a faithful saved woman will be a faithful wife. And being faithful means that we will be a faithful employee, or a faithful employer, or a faithful student or teacher, or a faithful church member, a faithful witness, and we could go on and on. But we need to be faithful servants and Christians. And then notice he addresses them and he says, grace and peace from God our Father. Now that was a common part of the greeting. Now we might greet somebody and say, well, hello, how is it going today? Have a good day. But this was a special greeting in those days. Grace means God's unmerited favor. And so he was saying to them, grace be to you, or I want you to have God's unmerited favor. And then also he said, peace. Now peace is that quietness of heart. And as Christians, when we have God's grace, unmerited favor, and we have His peace, we have what the world lacks but is searching for. And grace and peace is all found in Jesus Christ. Now notice verses 3 through 5. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now there's notice a number of things that Paul mentions here. Paul was an encourager. He was encouraging them. Remember, we brought out previously, past weeks, that this church had false teachers that were trying to come in and lead them astray, teach them false doctrine. And Epaphras had gone there and tried to help them, but he needed Paul's help. He needed Paul to write to them and teach them, encourage them. And so Paul began on a positive note, not a negative note. He thanks God for their faith, for their love, and for their hope. And he said, we heard of your faith in Christ, and we heard of your love toward all the saints or toward other Christians, and we heard of your hope in heaven, or that you are hoping, you know that you are going to heaven, and that's your hope. And he said, and we thank God for that. Now, Paul was encouraging them. He was showing appreciation for how they, for what they believed and how they lived. Appreciation is great medicine for the soul. These believers were engaged in a spiritual warfare. The enemy was seeking to undermine their faith, and Paul encouraged them in their faithfulness to Christ and was encouraging them to continue in how they were. Now, we can either be an encourager or a discourager. Some can never say anything good about the good a person does, but they are quick to point out the faults or the goofs that they make in life. Now, we must not be that kind of a person. We must be an encourager that looks at the positive things in a person's life and encourages them. Now, Paul was also a thankful person. Notice the beginning of verse 3, we give thanks to God for you. He was thankful for what God was doing in the lives, in their lives, and in the lives of others. This was so characteristic of Paul. Turning back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And back a little further in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you. And we're not going to look here, but in 1 Corinthians 1, 4, he again says how thankful he was for them. You see, that was characteristic of Paul, and that needs to be characteristic of us too. We need to be a people who are thankful for what we have in Christ and for what he's done for us. Now, remember that when Paul wrote this to the Colossians, he was in prison, but instead of feeling like, woe is me, it's so bad to be in prison here. Instead of looking at the bad side of what he was experiencing, he was filled with thanksgiving for what God was doing in and through him and in the lives of others. So Paul was a thankful person. But Paul was also a man of prayer. Notice verse 3 also. Not only do we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but notice he said, praying always for you. Paul was a man of prayer. Again, this was very characteristic of Paul. Again and again, we see him praying for others. And as he prayed, he was thankful for what God was doing in his life and in the lives of others, and he was making requests for them. Now, as Christians, we are all members of one body, the body of Christ, and if one member of the body is strengthened, this helps to strengthen other fellow Christians. And if one member of the body of Christ is really growing and experiencing special revival in their lives, then this will help other members. And if one member of the body of Christ is suffering, going through some type of illness or whatever, the other members should be there to encourage and to comfort and to help that fellow believer who's experiencing problems and suffering. You see, what an example Paul was to this end. He was, and that's an example for us. We likewise need to be faithful believers, and we need to be loving believers, and we need to be an encouragement to others, not looking at the downside or the bad side of things, but looking at what Christ has done for us and being faithful and living for Him and showing our love for one another and encouraging one another in the faith. That's the kind of Christians God wants us to be, and that's the kind of Christians these Colossian believers were. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for this message to the Colossian church, and we thank you what an encouragement he was to these believers. He appreciated this church so much, and he sought to encourage them and to comfort them and help them through this time of struggle that they were going through. Lord, help us to be Christians like that, encouraging others as well as being faithful and loving. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.